Please pray with me. Gracious God, we ask now that you, who are ever present among us, that you would open up our hearts and open up our minds to receive the word you have for us this morning. Amen. Well, I want to start with a bit of honesty. Because I wonder, as we gather here this morning, if you are anything like me, if you ever get struck sitting right here with a deep inner question. That question being, why do we do all this? Why are we here? I mean, think about it. It's 2023. We live in an advanced age of knowledge that the world has never seen before. We keep supercomputers in our pockets. We send machines and our own selves into outer space. We craft artificially intelligent software that can do just about as much as we can do. You don't actually know if a bot wrote this sermon for me. I can't prove that it wasn't. We use reason, method, and testing to prove and disprove the theories we hold, to confidently label them. This is fact, this is fiction, this is how I get life. And yet, here we are, in Traverse City, Michigan, 2023, singing songs and offering prayers to a God claimed by an ancient civilization. A people whose entire understanding differed vastly from our own. Here we are holding up this collection of transcribed and translated writings, some of which are thousands of years old, declaring this is the word of the Lord. Here we are gathering together in the name of a 2,000-year-old Jewish man from Nazareth, claiming that he has risen. And so I can't help but wonder, does that not ever strike you as surprising? Or at very least odd, that in a world that has changed and developed and learned so much, we still show up today to proclaim something utterly nonsensical. Jesus has risen? From the dead? You do know that that's not how biology works, right? You know that once something is dead, like truly, fully dead, that there's no coming back to life. Like, to claim bodily, physical resurrection in 2023 is sheer foolishness. Yet, here we are. Teachers, doctors, engineers, scientists, lawyers, students, all of us, intelligent, logical people who have made an entire life out of a modern understanding of how this world works. And we're all calling out together, Jesus is risen. Why do we still do it? Is it just a mere traditional ritual and we just want to go through the motions to appease our own inner parent or bathe in the nostalgia of a time gone by? Or might we still do it because we actually think it could be true? Now, I don't cast shame or judgment on anyone here today, wherever you land between those. But my guess is that the vast majority of us here today find ourselves somewhere in a spectrum in between. We have belief, sure. We have belief in something, right? Some higher power, something beyond ourselves, maybe in the teachings and ministry of Christ. But even in having that belief, if we're honest, we have questions. We have doubts. We have frustrations. We hold these things over, you know, some of the more supernatural sections of Scripture. And beyond that, too, we hold it for, you know, the legitimacy of organized religion or the necessity of having to come in regular worship and engage together. And it's okay. To have those questions, to have those frustrations is a genuine part of the faith journey for all of us, if we're honest. But on this day, on Easter, I want to invite you not to suppress those things. Not to pretend they aren't there, but just to suspend them for a little while. To allow yourself to consider the wonder of it all. As in, what if this is true? What if Jesus meant what he said, and then he carried out it just as he meant to? What if this man from Nazareth was actually God incarnate? And what if he literally, bodily rose from the dead? What if Mary and Mary, mourning the torture and death of their friend and teacher, went to that tomb and were truly met with supernatural events, as inexplicable then as they are now? An earthquake, an angel, and then their own beloved Jesus walking and talking once again. No CGI, no magic tricks, no pranksters. A true and astounding miraculous event. What if Mary and Mary indeed became the very first Christian preachers, sharing that good news of a risen Christ to all the followers? And what if that crew then heeded those instructions, returned to Galilee, actually found Jesus there, received the Great Commission, and watched him ascend into the heavens? Friends, if this actually happened, it kind of makes sense to me that those who experienced it would then become just collectively consumed with the wonder of it all. Traveling their whole known world to tell of what they witnessed, to share the story of a risen Lord and all of that that means for life for us hereafter, even if it meant risking their own persecution and even death. And if that truly took place, it follows that many, many people would have wound up hearing their accounts and their testimony, the witness to the way they lived in utter devotion to the way of Christ, and that they too would have found themselves caught up in that same spirit of love, of peace, and service, and restoration, to create a large and diverse movement of people committed to share this and live it out. What a wonder. If we open ourselves up to the wondrous possibility of a God made flesh raised from the dead, there is a freedom-inducing surrender that comes along with it. Because it means we are freed from having to have all the answers. It means we get to admit that our vast and expanding knowledge is still but a droplet of water in the ocean of God's wisdom. In embracing the resurrection, we embrace the divine mystery. Free to accept that God does indeed work in ways that we can't prove or measure or explain, with nothing left to do but to stand back in awe at the wonder of it all. So will you join me in that wonder today? Will you join me? Will you join me in the wonder of a God who loves this wild and weary world without end or measure? Will you join me in the wonder of a God who does not let the grave have the last word, but who conquers it for the sake of all? The wonder of a God whose justice and mercy shall flow, bringing about restoration, even when we think all hope is lost. The wonder of a God who cannot be contained or defined by any human empire or power. Join me in the wonder of a God whose resurrected body affirms the intrinsic value and dignity of every body. Every single body. Friends, leaning into this sense of wonder is incredibly important in our life of faith. Wonder sparks our imaginations and it opens us up to worlds we never thought possible. I'm reminded of a time back when I was in college. Our English department was partnering with this university located in Tokyo, Japan. And we offered a 2-week English language intensive for some of their students. And I had a friend, Nate, who was tasked with hosting duties for the people that came. And so he was a part of a crew that was going to pick up the Japanese students and bring them back to our campus one night. Now, you should know that I went to college in Orange City, Iowa, which is a booming metropolis of 5,000 people. I'm talking at least 3 stoplights. They might have more now, I don't know. And most of these students were getting picked up. They were from Tokyo, which is still the largest city in the world by population. And so Nate greeted them at the airport, and they all piled into an 18-passenger van to make the 2-hour trip to Orange City, because that was the nearest airport, of course. But as soon as they left the airport and got out on the open highway, something very strange happened. The students started gasping and shouting to each other in Japanese, and they started to strain, leaning over each other to look out the windows. Nate found himself just kind of crushed up against his seatbelt bracket as 3 of his newfound friends were leaning over his lap to look out the window and get a better view. After a few moments of this commotion, he managed to get a question across to his neighbor. What is it? What is going on? And his neighbor took a few moments to find the right words, but he got his point across in a quick reply. Big sky. Stars everywhere. It dawned on Nate that for many of these students, they had never witnessed a full night sky. And those who hadn't seen one for years. They'd never witnessed it just lit up with stars and everything else with no light pollution. And suddenly, what for Nate had just become this automatic assumption, you know, just, oh, yep, there's the night sky, it became this awe-inducing wonder once again through the eyes of people experiencing it new and fresh for the first time. And that experience opened Nate up to reappreciate what he had grown to take for granted. I think in the same way, we too wind up taking for granted all the ways that God's resurrection power is showing up in our world. And I'm mindful even of the ways that it's happening in our own community, in our own activity, all the real and tangible ways that this faith body has been bringing about resurrection life into the Traverse City area, including and affirming all people to join us in worship and leadership, regardless of who you are and who you love, providing shelter, food, and friendship to our unhoused community at Safe Harbor, reducing food waste and stocking up local pantries so nobody will go hungry at Food Rescue, furthering our dialogue and our connection with our Indigenous neighbors through the Place series, honoring, preserving, and protecting God's good earth through restoring native plants, reducing our footprint, and advocating for a sustainable future. Meals, meals, meals everywhere. Last month, our kitchen provided over 1,500 meals for our members, for our visitors, for the homebound, for the sick, for our siblings at Safe Harbor. Friends, it is only through new resurrection life in Christ that this can come about. We could never keep this up on our own accord. There is something wondrous going on. A divine and restorative energy in and around this community that engages us in these acts of love and service, all to the glory of a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I wonder what God has in store next for each and every one of us. Which brings us back here. Here we are, gathered in the name of Jesus, who we proclaim risen. And why are we doing it? Whether we even realize it or not, we gather in worship because it is God's doing. Because through worship, God uses it as the primary way to instill and reignite wonder in each of us. Gathered here and now, engaged in worship, God reminds us of who we are and of whose we are. God reveals to us once again the wonder of it all. And we need that reminder, don't we, friends? We need it because we are so inescapably human. We are fickle. We are frail. We cannot hold this wonder all on our own. We inevitably forget. We let it wear away. We get it confused. And so God calls us together yet another time to gather as the beloved community to receive the wonder once again. So we sing songs and we say prayers and we claim this same God as generations who have come before us. The same ones that will meet us one day in a full and eternal resurrection. And we proclaim yet again that Jesus is indeed risen. And by his Spirit we share in his resurrected life to love and serve this world. So may you find yourself alive in Christ today. May you be reignited with that resurrection power. And may you know, if nothing else, that you are always God's beloved child. Amen.